There we go. Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Prior to opening public comment, a reminder, cancellation meeting of August the 10th. There will be no meeting on August 10th. And another announcement, as some of you know, during the last few weeks, there have been some issues with either IQM2, Spectrum, or any other internet that we're having trouble listening to and having issues on that system. So if you're having issues on the IQM2 system, please call the real-time audio line at 530-212-8376 to listen in. And with that, I will open up public comment.
Well, I don't know where Pastor is this morning. So
I don't know either. Haven't heard.
I hope he's okay. May I have the overhead, please? And before I launch into that, I was just going to say some stuff about your groundwater resolution last week. Mr. Goodwin, where's Mr. Goodwin? He's not here either. Uh-oh, they're both gone. I didn't know that there was rumors about truckloads of water being shipped to cannabis farms, which are, of course, not allowed in this county. I know that that's happening in Siskiyou County. I didn't know there were rumors of it happening here, and as you know, my ear is to the ground on that issue. Okay, so last week, there you go. You remember I talked about Wild Oak, the paintball, blah, blah, blah. The Proud Boys, Sons of Jefferson sticker on their Black Lives Matter thing on the window, yada, yada. These are, could you kind of, just get in on that a little more. Zoom in. There you go. Awesome. That's fine like that. These are the Proud Boys that were at Carlos Zapata's his arraignment hearing for assault charges he's facing in Shasta County. So that was last Tuesday. Last Wednesday, a gentleman by the name of Robert Sunday called Wild Oak and said that Antifa and BLM had actually put that Proud Boys Son, State of Jefferson sticker on their window. It turns out this guy right here is Robert Sunday. Who is Robert Sunday? Well, he's this guy. He lives in Carmichael. His number and the town where he lives came up on Wild Oak's caller ID, and it's spelled Sunday, like the day. And a little looking through Facebook, instantly find Robert Sunday. Eyebrows kind of look the same, but the tattoos are what give them away. As you can see this here, there's, I know this is not a great photograph, but there's some details, and here's another one. This is the guy, I don't know if he's the guy that actually put the sticker on the window at Wild Oak. I do know that he's the guy who called Wild Oak and blamed Antifa, and that he does not live here. So I am very relieved to tell you all that there probably isn't a local Proud Boys chapter, and that makes me super happy, and especially happy for my State of Jefferson friends who I know are not racist and do not approve of vandalism of private businesses. So I just wanted to share that good but kind of weird news with you all. Have a wonderful morning.
Thank you. Anyone on the phone, Sean?
No, there is not.
I have a public comment. I have a town hall meeting coming up this Monday at 5:30 p.m. It'll be held in the room right next door over here, the Tuscan Room. It's the first in-person meeting since COVID began a year and a half ago, and it will also be on a Zoom call, virtual meeting as well. If you're not wanting to come in person yet, then some people are still not wanting to be in public because of the changes with regard to the new strain of COVID. but it's offered virtually and in person, and it's 727 Oak Street, for those of you who are listening in, the administration building in Red Bluff, California, at 5:30, and it will be the date's the 26th, but it's Monday, this coming Monday at 5:30.
Very good. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I will close public comment, and we'll move to announcements of agenda corrections. Do we have any?
I have a public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll reopen public comment.
Yes, I live in Corning, in Tama County, actually. We have no groundwater. I have several ag wells that are new and still being put in around me. I'd like to know what the county's going to do for me.
And that's public comment, period, ma'am. We do not respond.
Oh, okay. Well, I need to find out where I go to get my property tax lowered, because my property's worth nothing. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll refer you to Tim Patanovic at Environmental Health, who is heading up the well project. Thank you. Anyone else wishing public comment? Seeing none, I will close public comment and move to reportable action from closed session.
There were no reportable actions from this morning's closed session.
Thank you. Board matters? Anyone have any board matters?
Chairman, I have one. You know, I've been getting quite a few calls from my district about wells and being dry and not having water, and I just heard that this morning. I just need to know, what are we going to do about it? I know I serve on the board. We do have a desperate need in the Tehama County on this water situation, and that's something I think we need to seriously look at. How are we going to help these people that can't or don't have the money to re-drill or you know, what are we going to do for the water situation?
You had an informational presentation last week. Do you want that brought back?
I believe so.
And what do you want to discuss, sir? I mean, we passed a resolution to allow people to get well or get water at no cost. What direction do you want to go? Because we have to have consensus to have an item come back to the board.
Well, I would like to know if there's any way we've looked into any kind of funding or grant applications to help these people financially to be able to re-drill or drill new wells. And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think we need to look into it.
To my knowledge, there's no grants for private citizens. You know, and they're definitely not in our budget. That you're on the ad hoc committee for the budget. There's no money there for assisting citizens that I'm aware of, but you're the one that can tell me that. So what do you want? How do you want this move forward, John?
I would like a solution also looked at, and I don't know what the answer is right now. I don't think we can solve it right now, but I'm hearing from people in my district as well. It's not quite as bad as it is in Pasquinta and some of the Bob Williams district and in Corning, but there's some, you know, in Antelope. It seems countywide, and so I feel like we may not have the solution, but I think we need to start talking about solutions and looking into what the solutions are, because last week we had a presentation of someone who was on a fixed income who was using someone else's water that was approved by Environmental Health to be able to have water at their home. And some people don't have a way to transport water. So I don't know that that's the solution for everyone. It is, at least we've taken some action. This isn't an agendized item right now. I know we can't solve the problem right now, but I would like it brought back with some solutions about what we're going to do or if there are any possible options out there. And, you know, look into what we can do for these people who are being impacted, especially when they can't afford to re-drill.
Council?
I was just going to say, it sounds like perhaps what you're suggesting is a study session, perhaps an afternoon study session to invite the members of the board who presented last week and possibly our environmental health director to talk. As you're aware, environmental health is tracking the well situation and the dry wells. Like I said, as has been pointed out, we had a study session last week on this, or excuse me, a presentation last week. And Brandt, I think you've got a comment. And so I was just suggesting that, you know, we just had that update last week, but perhaps a full study session with staff from the appropriate departments to take a look at and really get a full update and allow the public to have participation and present. It sounds like what you're asking for.
Okay.
So since the last meeting that we had that was a study session for the board to know what was the progress being made with the GSA group, the ground water activity, and the manual that's being written, you know, which is a requirement of the state, it brought to the surface, I think, more people in communication with board members. And so, you know, I have been hearing some. It's not a huge number.
Ed, you'll have to come to the podium in just a moment.
But it has brought more attention to the matter, and I really think that we need to not have the same information brought back to us, but I don't think waiting until December is acceptable to some of our constituents who are without water right now. So, and I don't know that we're the solution. I just think we need to at least address it publicly.
I'll reopen public comment for Mr. Ed.
I apologize for interrupting, Mr. Chair, but could you give us a little more volume on the public address? It's hard to hear. Some come through reasonably normal, but if we could get some more volume.
She's coming to work on it right now.
We don't have the acoustics in here.
Thank you. Okay, so Brent, do you have a comment?
Just to make a comment, I believe next week Andy Hopi with Cal or not Cal OES, but Tama County Emergency Operations is going to hold a meeting, and I believe Cal OES will also be involved to discuss some of the issues that are going on in Tama County and any potential resolutions to help with that. I also want to state that I believe as of Friday, the water that's available to Tama County residents at the various parks, I believe it's Mill Creek and Ridgeway, are now available. You can contact, if you haven't reached out to Environmental Health yet or you did in the past, I would reach out to them again to get that information and the details in regards to getting water. Last week during the study session, there was also a discussion about commercial hauling of water, and I believe that's being worked on as well, and I intend to have a item come back towards the end of the month, I believe, or the beginning of next month to finalize those agreements.
Very good. Thank you.
And even something like, I mean, this is board matters, so I know it's one-way communication, but just public service announcements that are frequent enough to get the word out to the public to know where the water stations are. And, you know, as much as we think we've gotten the word out, sometimes people haven't heard that yet. So we need to be pretty consistent about getting that word out. That's all.
Hand up over there, Chair.
I'll have to. We are on board matters. We're not on public comment. There are no other board matters.
No, just to comment on that. During last week's presentation, we were given a website to access. I believe on that website has the information for low-interest loans for drilling a new well. But the issue right now appears to be also is the well drillers are so far out, they're looking at October for scheduling drilling wells right now. So even if we were to do something, have something available, the lack of ability for the well drillers is another challenge that we face in this county.
Very good. I will close public board matters and reopen public comment if you want to come to the podium, sir.
Ma'am.
Oh, okay.
I have to wear a hat and a lot of water.
Please come to the podium.
My name's Kelly Shane. I live on Marguerite. There's five of us just within the past week that have lost our wells, and I've been out for 5 days, and Robin and Fred just lost theirs a couple days ago. There's five of us that have no water. They don't come to the meetings probably because they're not educated enough to get here. I'm just really concerned about how many more wells we're going to lose on Marguerite, which is up against the big orchard, that they just punched two new wells in because they lost two wells. So it is a big concern. There's two options. One, we can do something. The second option was to do nothing. And right now we're doing nothing. So we're looking at the Tehama County to give us some answers. And I'm here to, you know, help facilitate that.
We appreciate that.
Okay.
So just for those of you listening, in case you're interested, the website is TehamaCountyWater.com.
And also, in close proximity to Corning, the city of Corning is allowing people to get water off of their system for potable use. Okay?
Yes.
Please come to the podium, because we are recording.
The problem that we have with that is I have a truck, and my truck is a three-quarter ton pickup. I got a 275-gallon tank, and it's hard enough for me to haul that water just to get it home. Yes, the city's offering that. We have to pay for it, but most people don't have a truck that I have, and my truck barely covers that weight. And so I go every other day to get some water, and fortunately, Bud Williams is my landlord, and he's been giving me water until I signed up today to get water from the city. Most people don't have that ability. They're out of water, and so I've offered my services to bring them water, but I can't do everybody's well.
We understand.
And
that.
We need everybody to kind of pitch in, and I understand growers need to grow, but we need to survive too. But there has to be some sort of we all need to work together, and people need to find out how to do this. They don't know. They're like, we're out of water. So they're tapping into their neighbor's well. Well, what if that well goes dry? So you're looking at, you know, 2 miles of no water for a lot of residents. And then an orchard can go in right now. And I know that for a fact because I've seen them drill 2 new wells because their other ones went dry. And this is the big orchard. So either they're going to help us, and I think that when we look at them putting in these new wells, that they need to consider within a mile radius that if that well goes dry, let's help our neighbor because they can afford. I mean, it would cost them 10 trees to put my well in or the neighbor's. So within that radius, we have to figure out if you're putting in a 1,000, 2,000-foot well, we need help, and it's the people that are around the orchards that are really going dry fast.
Thank you.
And it happens, like, in minutes.
We're very much aware of your concerns, and we'll move forward working on it.
No, I think that the co-op, that the orchard people need to get involved, that mm-hmm. they need to help other people. They need to help their neighbors.
Thank you. I will close public comment.
Public comment still.
I'll reopen it.
You know, one of the concerns is, like Kelly mentioned, is not everybody has the capability to hold the water, even if you can go get it or one way or the other. So that is going to be a major thing. Here it is, the end of July, and we still have August, September, and October before there's even a chance of a drop of water hitting. It could be anywhere from 3 to 5 wells a day being lost. So that's going to add up significantly. So if there's any way that I realize that you guys are up against the wall also.
Yes, we are.
But if any way that someone can help get containers to people, you know, that would be helpful. Someone like the oil plants or someone that could help assist the community, that would be great.
Very
Thank
good.
You.
We'll take that in consideration. And Brent, you have enough information to get a study session on a future agenda.
Yeah, would you like it to come sooner than the resolution for the hauling or about the same time?
About the same time, if
okay.
you can.
Okay.
What is that?
I believe it's going to be the 1st of August, towards the one of the first meetings.
3 at the most. Yeah. Okay. I'll close public comment. Announcements by departments.
Good morning, Board. Phil Johnston, Assistant Sheriff. I just wanted to make you aware of something that occurred late last night. We received a text message from the Dixie Fire Command Center that requested that we open a evacuation center. I notified Mr. Goodwin that we were in the process of doing that. I don't know if he notified the board. I want you to be aware that it wasn't quite as advertised. It's odd that we got a text message and not a teletype asking for that. So we confirmed through the Incident Command Center that they did not want us to open an evacuation center. They want to put us on a list as a backup in case we're needed to open. And in speaking with them, what we would do would, they're thinking that it would be a evacuation center that would include large animals. So we're thinking the fairgrounds if we have to push that button. Right now we're not having to push that button, so that's on hold. But we're ready to do that in case we have to.
Thank you very much for that update. And yes, Mr. Goodwin did reach out to me, said it was being planned.
Pardon me, sir?
Mr. Goodwin did reach out and say it was in the planning stages.
Yeah, I talked to him and
very good.
I figured he would, but that's what we do. So.
Thank you very much. Any other county announcements by county departments? Anyone on the phone, Sean?
No, there's not.
Very good. I'll move to the consent agenda. Pleasure of the board.
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
Motion and a second on the consent agenda. Clerk, call the roll.
Chairman Carton?
Yes.
Supervisor Carlson?
Yes.
Supervisor Leach?
Yes.
Supervisor Williams?
Yes.
Thank you very much. We'll move to the regular agenda. Item 13, Fire Department, request a confirmation of a grant application. Deputy Fire Chief Bob Ferris, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Board. Again, yes, this is a request for confirmation of the grant application for the Tehama County Hazard Mitigation Plan that was submitted to the California Office of Emergency Services to fund up to 75%, and that was submitted back on June 15th.
Pleasure of the board.
I'll move the confirmation.
Second.
Motion and a second on the confirmation of the grant application for hazard mitigation. And this does include the three cities of the county?
It does. It includes the county of Tehama, the city of Tehama, Corning, and Red Bluff.
Very good. Thank you. Clerk, call the roll. Yes.
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 Thank you very much. Good luck on that. Sheriff's Department, out-of-state travel request for a less lethal instructor course.
This is for out-of-state travel to Reno for sending a correctional deputy for less than lethal instructor's course. We find it a lot more efficient to train a person to be the instructor and train the rest of the department than sending the department out in individual manners to get that training. So that's what this is about. This is paid for through our training budget, so there's really no impact to the county other than that.
I'll move the request for travel.
I'll second the motion.
Motion and a second. Clerk, call a roll.
Chairman Carton?
Yes.
Supervisor Carlson?
Yes.
Supervisor Leach?
Yes.
Supervisor Williams?
Yes.
And item 15, Sheriff's Department, again, out-of-state travel, this time for reserve officer training.
This is a required training by post. Most of our reserve officers are, as you know, are volunteers, but they are required to maintain a level of training. This is 24 hours of professional training. And again, it is paid for through our training budget. I would like to mention that one of the officers that are scheduled is not going to be attending. He is currently injured, had an on-the-job injury, so he's not able to attend.
Very good.
Second.
Motion and a second. Clerk, call the roll.
Chairman Carton?
Yes.
Supervisor Carlson?
Yes.
Supervisor Leach?
Yes.
Supervisor Williams?
Yes.
And personnel, item 16, other than a step, request to approve an investigative analyst. Good morning, Coral.
Good morning, Board.
I'm Coral Farron from the Personnel Office. As you may recall, last November, the board approved the Personnel Office to hire an extra help unrepresented investigative analyst to assist us with performing administrative investigations inside of our office. So we held a couple rounds of interviews, and we interviewed some very highly qualified candidates, and we have selected to move forward with a person who has a lot of experience. He has approximately 20 years of experience performing administrative as well as criminal investigations. He worked for a large municipality in the Office of Inspector General for 11 years as a criminal investigator for, and he conducted some very high-profile and very confidential investigations. So we're very excited that he has applied to work in Tama County, and we're looking to place him at other than A step with a step E appointment. He's not able to take the position at anything less than step E. And I did ask Matt to assist me today because he helped conduct the interviews.
I'm lurking. Good morning, Board. Matt Rogers, DA. We had a great group of candidates. I was lucky enough to sit on the panels that interviewed them. They were all really impressive, and this particular candidate just rose to the top. What struck me in interviewing these applicants that we had is that all of them would fall into the category, frankly, of being above a step A. They all had the credentials, qualifications, and experience that I think would necessitate trying to hire them at a higher pay range just to get them on board. This particular candidate is very impressive. I don't want us to miss out on him, and so I'm supportive of this action that's put forth. So thank you, Board.
Thank you.
I'd also like to jump in. I sat on those interview panels as well. We had a great group of candidates. This particular candidate was just outstanding. He was amazingly qualified for the position. By bringing this particular individual in-house, we can do, I believe, some significant savings on behalf of the county. This individual can easily replace the outside investigator that my office has been using on quite a few of the investigations. So I think this bringing this individual in with his experience level will actually work for a significant cost savings for the county.
Very good. Thank you. Pleasure of the board.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Motion and a second.
Can we have a discussion?
Comments?
So I am really in favor of having an internal investigator with over $200,000 just in this last year being spent on personnel investigations outside. You know, I really believe that we have an issue with this county that we need to solve, and, you know, maybe we need to figure out what it is that we're not doing right in order to have this many complaints and problems going forward. But we are in a low-trust environment with regard to our HR department, and it's been occurring for this has been the case for quite a long time. And so with that being stated, I don't want to eliminate completely outside opportunities for investigation because of that low trust, that there are times when it might be more appropriate for it to not be internal. I want to definitely give this person an opportunity, though, to do as much as possible internally. But I, as a supervisor, am, and I can only speak for myself, but what I want from an investigator is a reasonable, unbiased, fact-based result coming back from the report so that the information can be used in order to solve problems and we can find solutions and not try to oust people or to target individuals, whether it be supervisors or employees. So that's my desire. I hope that we can get there with this. It's something that's been needed for a very long time, so I will be supporting this. I just hope that it goes well going forward.
Thank you. Any other comments? Clerk, call a roll.
Chairman Garten?
Yes.
Supervisor Carlson?
Yes.
Supervisor Leach?
Yes.
Supervisor Williams?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good luck with that. Item 17, Board of Supervisors, Analyst Brent Misker, in regards to update on our video streaming and upgrade to IQM2.
Yes, good morning, Board. Here this morning to bring back the Granicus Peak platform upgrade, as well as video streaming of the board meetings. So staff did look further into this as requested and received a proposal from Granicus. That proposal would include upgrade to Granicus Peak platform, which would include the agenda generating software, as well as the capabilities to stream these meetings live via video or audio. So Peak platform does allow the option for a constituent, for say in a rural remote area with maybe low bandwidth, the ability to select whether they want to stream audio or video. So we feel that's a good fit for Tama County. And then that also includes the VoteCast option, which allows for supervisors and boards to select which way they will vote. So that is kind of the details on the Granicus option. With that, if we were to stream the video of the meetings, we would need to upgrade the system in here, primarily video and camera capabilities. I did reach out to multiple vendors locally. Unfortunately, I was only able to receive one quote from a vendor. I've done a little bit of research and talked to some other agencies and jurisdictions that have used this vendor for some similar upgrades, and you know, all the information I received from them was positive, and their work is of quality. So I feel comfortable in talking in the discussions I did have with the other vendors that the price on this is very reasonable and competitive. In fact, when I reached out to them at the time, I didn't know I was going to not receive multiple quotes. So they thought, you know, to their understanding, we were asking for quotes from other vendors as well. So that essentially would include the pan-tilt zoom cameras, three for this to cover the diocese area here, as well as the public comment where I'm standing here. It would require an 8-inch touchscreen at a determined to be location for someone to actually control the cameras as far as which output is selected for the constituents to view at their home, and necessary cabling and control switching, and they would work with Granicus to accommodate that integration. In fact, in a prior project, they have worked with Granicus in the past as well. So that's kind of just a very high-level view of what the system per se would look like. Just to get into some of the details as far as the project itself, I would like to point out that funding for this project has not been identified. That is partially the reason we're here today, and you see in the requested action that we are requesting that the board, provide some direction to the Budget Ad Hoc Committee to pursue funding for this project. For this fiscal year, the anticipated cost would be just a little over $52,000. Moving forward, the video streaming portion of this with North State Audio Visual, if we were to pursue with them for the installation of and the purchase of the cameras, is just over $14,000. The upfront one-time cost with Peak or Granicus is $9,060. Granicus also has an ongoing annual maintenance cost, which we currently do pay an annual ongoing maintenance cost with IQM2. The ongoing annual maintenance cost for the first year is approximately $10,600 more than what our current cost is. And I will say that Granicus also has approximately 6% increase each year annually, and that's primarily to accommodate the space for the cloud storage of the video that comes at a cost as well for them. As far as this project goes in particular, I think I've covered everything I have here. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
I don't have any questions right now, but I believe Liz has some comments.
Yep.
Thank you. Yes, I do. Thank you for working on this. I appreciate it. I know it took you a long time, but I know you're not like, he's not the IT guy. Like, you know, guys don't really have an IT guy, right? So I get it. He has a lot of other things to do. So I started looking into this yesterday. And my question, I looked all over the Granicus proposal. What option is there for online participation by the public?
So Granicus currently does not offer an option for online participation. It is anticipated that we would continue to use the call-in option that has been utilized since we implemented that at the beginning of COVID.
Sure. So I got in touch. I Googled government bodies using Zoom for public meetings. And the first thing that popped up, there were tons of them, was a town of 20,000, so a little bit bigger than Red Bluff, but obviously a lot smaller than Tehama County, Birmingham, Michigan. And I messaged them about what we're trying to do, what you're trying to do here. We're a we. And they sent me this very nice message back and a link to their they have public meetings on Zoom. I looked up the piece of equipment they have. It's expensive. It's like $25,000. But you're going to have to get equipment anyway. This affords public participation, not on the phone and not walking in. As you know, there's always delays. There's always issues. Today, they cannot hear the audio stream on the website. And it's great. We're looking at new stuff. So this is fantastic, but I've had several messages this morning. It's not online. Again, like something needs to be done. And you were mentioning where are we going to put this equipment. I believe that room right there is exactly built for that reason, if I'm not mistaken. So I just brought this for you all to look at. This is just one of hundreds, if not thousands, of local jurisdictions that actually have public participation online. It can be done. Please don't let Granicus is a great company, I'm sure. I really appreciate Brent's hard work on this. But if you're going to spend the money, and I know it's not budgeted, so we're probably looking down the line. If you're going to do it, let's really do it. Let's really make the public easy to participate for them, okay? If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to entertain them.
Thank you, Liz. Part of the issue that I have in talking with Brent and other department heads, IQM2 has not been updated. They are not updating it. They're not planning on updating it unless we move to the Granicus Peak system. So if we... And I'm not knocking Zoom, but we have to also keep our current internal process of submitting board items to the board under IQM2. And the only way to do that would be look at Granicus Peak update. So that's where I am in favor of, is to going further in research for that.
So, yeah, I will say and confirm what Dennis said. Granicus has purchased IQM2. They plan to continue to support their customers and help resolve any issues that we're having. With that being said, they will not offer any new options or upgrades. They are essentially doing just the required security patches currently for IQM2. And then just to touch on the Zoom issue, and I think Dennis said it perfectly. Zoom is a great option for streaming or hosting meetings. But the one piece that we would have difficulty incorporating in with Zoom is, like Dennis said, a platform that allows departments to submit agenda items, the process for, and how that the various levels are set in IQM2 currently, and we would have in Granicus for the levels of review that are necessary, and then how Jennifer's office puts together the agenda, prints the agenda, and on top of that, a way for us to preserve the record. All this is stored on Zoom's cloud-based system. If we went another option, we would then bear the cost to store all and any video, which can become quite expensive, and then to back that up and be sure all that is done securely and safely.
Thank you. I think you have two comments behind you, Brent.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, but I have to comment on this, even as illiterate as I am about this new issue you're discussing here. We're in a county that's out of water. We're in a county that's out of overindulging in land use, and we're talking about a popular communication. What's wrong with people coming to meetings and discussing issues? I just believe that even with a momentary, an emergency-type moratorium on this ag drilling and so forth, that this body could waive the time factor and get a temporary injunction so these people can get water, the aquifers, to recover to what extent they will without more rain. We need to focus on what's beneficial to this county right now, and I don't think outside communications. I believe people have to make an effort to do what it takes to keep this county moving. I hope that'll be taken into consideration that these people are hurting. I myself am blessed to be able to afford to drill a new well. I just put in a well 3 months ago, and then 3 weeks later, I'm having to put in a new pump.
Ed, this discussion is not about wells. This is in regards to software for the county.
I understand, Mr. Chairman, but this is an issue that's relevant to the county now.
Very good. Thank you for your comments. Liz?
I agree with Mr. Baker. Obviously, water is way more important than this, but I just want to let him know that there are a lot of disabled people in this county who cannot come to meetings or who work during meetings, who would like to have the option to participate online from their home. And that's not what I came up here to say. I don't think that there's any technical reason why you couldn't use the Granicus, because obviously having department heads being able to submit agenda items is way more important than public participation, for heaven's sakes. There's no reason why, once you have a stream, you can put it on Zoom. It's like one more step. So you can use your little Granicus thing, so it makes it easy for the clerk's office. Hey, I'm all about making it easy for people who work for the county. There's no reason you cannot do both. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone on the phone, Sean?
No, there's not.
Pleasure of the board.
Question for Brent. sorry to catch you. I hope you know the answer. Maybe if you don't, you can get it back to me later. The cost of upgrading our current system to the Granicus system without the video, just doing the upgrades, what Supervisor Garten was talking about, so we could get the thoroughly modern IQM2.
I'm going kind of trying to go through the quote here just really quickly. The one-time cost, isn't that much less. Quite honestly, it's only approximately maybe $2,500 less for one-time cost. I'm not sure. I don't have a quote here.
I don't want to put you on the spot,
yeah.
Brent. I don't want you quoting numbers that aren't applicable. But if you would please, you know, this agenda item is possible direction. I would like to see what the cost of just doing the upgrade of our current system with Granicus, so that we can, you know, they could do those upgrades, and we wouldn't have the system failures that we're having right now with the audio and things like that.
Understood.
To me, that probably needs to be done. I have to agree with some of the other comments that have been made here that there's more important things to spend county resources on than video streaming right now. So, but I do think since we're having issues with IQM2, we need to look at what we need to do to keep that system working.
Gotcha. Thank you.
And would that also include the direction to the board ad hoc for budget to identify the funding source?
Well, I think, Supervisor, if we find out what that upgrade cost is, then we do that direction to look at that.
But we need to do that now while they're having their meeting, so they can at least maybe earmark something?
I would think so.
I would think so, yeah.
Okay. So is that enough direction, Brent?
Yeah, I think I can.
Can you have some comments?
I actually have quite a bit to say. I think this board's already given direction to staff as far as the some of these things. It may not have been the video streaming, which is on the agenda right now, but it's difficult for me to sit through this in a way. This isn't new, what we're dealing with right now, and I don't know why the staff administration is not, I'm not criticizing you, Brent, but the administration isn't ahead of the game, because we can knew about the system becoming obsolete, and that we knew that there was going to be, you know, a point in time where the support was going to diminish and not be available to us. And we need to get this solved, because it's not acceptable for us to not be able to live stream the meetings and have, you know, what we've had as access previously. And we do pay for this. We pay for this right now. So I can't, you know, reasonably accept that Granicus is going to say, well, I'm sorry, we're not going to, you know, you can't announce your meetings, or the meetings aren't going to be available to staff for, and it's been over a month. I don't know when it started, when we started to have a problem. I don't actually track the dates, but I do know that for several meetings in a row, it's been the same issue, that we haven't been able to live stream the meetings, and people, the only way they've had access is by Liz Mary coming in, who's a private citizen who, you know, is bringing her own phone and live streaming the meeting on Facebook. That's not how it should be done. And so, you know, for me, this, it needs to be solved as far as what we're going to do right now and getting the next meetings up and available. I don't know. You can't force the company to do something, but I don't know what we're going to do, but we need to do something right away. The financing part of it is to say, you know, we don't have money in the budget. You know, we need to be able to afford to do what we have to do, and we need to put the money where the money's needed. And I am completely surprised that it wasn't included in our recommended budget, because we've known for a very long time that we need this to happen. So that I don't understand it. And, you know, I could be way off, and, you know, if somebody could explain that to me, I'd really appreciate it, because it just seems very backwards to me that we have a recommended budget and now we're trying to scramble to figure out how we're going to fix the problem. The $52,000, you know, I know that we could find that money. We have one-time funds. We have other, you know, funds. So we can't say that there isn't money available. There is money available. If we need to use it, then we need to use it, and we might have to move other things around in order to be able to afford what we need. The water issue, I want to say, you know, it's not part of this agenda item. It's a very important issue, but it is a different issue. And, you know, the video streaming we had talked about a long time ago, And the direction to staff was, let's see how we can make it happen. And you yourself stood here in front of us to say these are some of the options that we have. So I actually thought this already was in front of us before and that we gave direction. So I'm a little bit surprised. I thought it was going to be an update of what we were going to do and, you know, where we're going to go with this. So, you know, if we're trying to say, you know, what do we want to have happen, the board, you know, said we want to have video streaming. We want to make sure that the public can hear the meetings that are being, as they're happening. The IQM2 is a 6-second delay, but I know that there are quite a few people out there listening because I hear from them, and they say, I heard this on the audio stream, and it wasn't the recorded audio after the fact. It was during the meeting. And then there are people who also listen to it after the fact from a recording. So these are the tools that we have. I don't think that it's this board's job to figure out how we're going to get there. I would like staff to bring us some options to say this is how we're going to solve the problem. Anyway, that's what I would like to see.
So I think you have go ahead, Jennifer.
I just wanted to say that the last recollection I have when we had this board discussion was Brant laid out all the options, including what a cost of just upgrading the encoder was and the system, whether we're auto streaming or video streaming or cameras. And direction was given to come back with further details for the research, but no money was allocated or given into the budget itself.
Right. There was no money allocated. It was strictly to come back.
And that is my recollection. Actually, the board gave direction to staff to stay with IQM2, the current system, and not do the upgrades, but to research the cost of doing the video.
Yep. So I think we have direction now that the budget out. We'll try to identify it, and we go from there. And you got some questions from Bob, and we'll go from there.
Yes, moving forward, I will get a quote from Granicus for audio only for now. I will provide that information along with the information that was presented today to the budget ad hoc, and I guess they can go from there and what they want to bring to include in the budget and then bring to the board as a final decision.
Very good.
Thank you, Brant.
Thank you.
And I do want to mention also that the public participation is it's important to me. I don't know what the other board members believe, but I do think it's important.
And we did have that conversation regarding Zoom I had it in just casual conversation with, I think all three, or at least three, I mean, of the vendors I spoke with regarding the installation piece of it. The response, their general response was that it's difficult into tying it into the current system we have because of some proprietary software that Granicus uses in order to provide that, and at that time I think it was a consensus that if we were going to pursue Zoom or a platform such as that, that it would be an open meeting separate from Granicus or IQM2, whatever is decided there.
Very good. Thank you. We look forward to hear back from you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brant.
With that, we'll move to board supervisor standing and ad hoc committees. I was unable to attend the fire meeting yesterday. John?
Yes, we had the fire meeting. It was a good meeting. We had good participation. And also, I stood in on the solid waste, too, on yesterday. So those two meetings.
What?
After.
You stood in on what?
Solid waste. Yesterday morning, we had a board meeting. So.
Okay. And what was discussed at either one of them?
Well, the fire meeting, we discussed, you heard some of that this morning from the chief here. We also discussed the new engine coming into Tehama. That was going to be approved today, and I think it wasn't on the board, though. I didn't see it on the board.
I just signed it, but where's it going, do you know?
For the engine? Going to Las Molinas.
Las Molinas is a new engine in your district?
Yes.
Okay. Public Works?
No.
Strategic plan?
No.
Budget ad hoc?
We did have a meeting, and we're still working on it.
Okay. Park bond?
Not yet. I think it's scheduled tomorrow.
And you had a landfill meeting yesterday?
Yes.
And what's the result of that?
Well, that's a different area, right?
Well, it's part of solid waste. Okay. Department ad hoc of those bottom three, we're waiting. Reports of meeting attended.
I'll go.
Go ahead.
Last week we had on the 14th, we had RCRC and Golden State Finance Authority executive meeting in Sacramento. And then on Friday we had a Golden State Natural Resources meeting via Zoom. Direction was given to staff of Golden State Natural Resources to negotiate on the purchase of a North State property for a North State site. And then yesterday we did have the landfill, and landfill, we had a special meeting in regards to household hazardous waste, company to operate our household hazardous waste. We received two bids. The board chose to reject those bids and send them back out for an RFP for a management company to handle the household hazardous waste.
Very good. Thank you, John.
Other than what Supervisor Bob said, that's all I was in meeting.
Okay. Candy?
Okay. So the COC housing meeting was held on Friday the 16th. Amanda, it was a special meeting of the Continuum of Care, COC. And we had Amanda Sharp as a guest speaker presenting information about the housing authority, and there was a lot of information that was shared. It was actually pretty incredible what they're doing and some of the suggestions that were made that are happening in Placer County. We can't exactly translate everything from Placer to Tehama because there are differences in the two counties and what the issues are, but there was a lot of information shared with that group, and I think we're going to be hearing back from them at a later date on how we might be able to make some changes. So the housing authority, currently we have the vouchers for the Section 8 vouchers and some other things, but there's a lot more that that organization can do. So hopefully we'll hear more back on that. And this board sits as the board of directors for the housing authority. And so, you know, I'm hoping that we're going to get some reporting back to this board of directors from the people who are working on that. The Solid Waste Management Agency met, and it was a special meeting and one agenda item, actually, regarding hazardous waste contract, and it was the contracts were rejected, and there will be a new RFP put out for hazardous waste for our community. Hopefully someone will take that on and help us out with that. I attended agenda review yesterday, and I just have a question, just a general question. And you know, today maybe it doesn't matter that much, but we have a 1:30 discussion, and these, you know, planning sessions or study sessions are mostly scheduled for the afternoon, but because there was such a short schedule, I'm wondering, are they only time-specific, or is that how we're directing it to you, Jennifer, or is it something that could, because your people know when you put out the agenda that it's a that it's not as much on the agenda and that it could be moved to the morning session so we don't have to come back in the afternoon?
So, unfortunately, I was out of town last week when this agenda was done, but I know that administration and my office did meet, and truthfully, we probably could have moved it to the morning session based on the fact that the agenda was very small, but I don't think we were anticipating it. We didn't know. I don't think we knew exactly how long the streaming item was going to go, and I don't know if any admin has any other thoughts on that, but this was Tabitha's first agenda by herself, so.
I know you don't know how long things are going to, I just wondered, and it doesn't happen very often, so it was just a question.
So normally we would try to move it if we anticipated the meeting being short in the morning.
Okay, great.
However, this meeting for this afternoon was set at this board. It was directed from this board to be on today's date at 1:30.
Okay.
Yeah, and I will add that we also had previously sent out, I don't know, we'll call them invites or notifications to some of the local builders and whatnot that may be interested in participating in the meeting this afternoon. So this one was kind of a set time. But in the future, I think we could probably consider the study sessions that may be scheduled for the afternoon. If it appears to be a short agenda, that we could potentially try to schedule those in the morning session.
Okay. It's not really an issue. I just was wondering for today's event. That's it.
Anything else? SSV Sac Sierra Valley LIMSA was canceled and moved to August for our next quarterly meeting. And other than that, do you have any board matters? Seeing none, we will stand adjourned until 1:30. All signed for you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I will call to order the 1:30 session of the Tama County Board of Supervisors for item 20. And Chief William Goodwin is on vacation. We have Tim Potanovic and Brandt and a few other staff members. This is a study session to discuss the possible creation of a development services department and or to stay as we are with building and planning. So, Tim, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chairman. As you mentioned, I'm standing in for Bill this afternoon. What we have in front of us is, as you described, a study session with the material that we can go over and compare other counties' approach to community services development. Some other counties call it resource management, but it's all the same thing. I won't call it a super agency concept. I'll call it more of an umbrella agency because that is more of what it really represents, not like a super agency or like a super fund or something like that. I believe these counties have undertaken such a composition of their departments, not primarily for the purpose of streamlining permit processes and streamlining developmental services, not necessarily primarily for the purpose of saving money, even though it's touted that that could happen if it's handled in that way. So I'm going to start with some overheads of comparing other counties in the surrounding area and how they have established their departments.
Do you need the screen?
Yeah, I do. Like that? Can everybody see that all right? Okay. There's our immediate neighbor to the south, Butte County. Their development services agency consists of building, planning, and code enforcement. Glenn County, to the south as well, planning and community development services include building inspection, environmental health, planning, and water resources. And then to the west, we have Mendocino County, planning and building services that include planning and building combined, cannabis, and code enforcement. And then to the north, we have Shasta County. They call their agency the Department of Resource Management. I would imagine probably because they have more management areas, as in air quality and environmental health to a degree. So they have air quality, building, environmental health, planning, and the community education section, which is something I'm not familiar with at all. And one more county south is Sutter. They call it their developmental services agency. It includes a lot of different departments. Animal services, code enforcement, CUPA, the Certified Unified Program Agency, which is a hazardous materials function as a de facto agency of Cal EPA. It has environmental health, GIS data download, planning and building, building services, building fees, planning fees, public works, engineering division, even road maintenance division, and water resources division. That probably could be called a super agency, but that's a lot. That's a mouthful. So with that, I've rolled this out and made a little introduction about how our neighbors are doing it, and I'll just leave it at that from my standpoint for a while.
Okay. This is a study session, so please come up. Mark, how are you?
I'm good. It was Kendall Mayfield, his name you couldn't remember.
Yeah. Yep. He owns two buds now.
Yeah. Okay, good afternoon. I'm Mark Garstang, and that doesn't mean anything, but I'm here to tell you that the figures don't lie, and liars figure. We were just survived a presidential election, and everybody here can raise your hand if you enjoy paying $4.15 a gallon for fuel. It's only gone up, what, $1.25 a gallon? I buy three tanks a week, so things aren't better for me in that regards. To create an umbrella agency over the top of building and planning. This was discussed 15 years ago. This is before the state of Jefferson. 15 years ago, I think it was the same time Rick Robinson was retiring. He was headed out the door, and they said, well, we're going to slide in Mr. Goodwin. We're going to make him the county administrator instead of the financial officer. We really need to upgrade our government here. And we spoke at a meeting. They tabled it. The item, tabled it for 12 to 15 years. I don't know however long Bill has been chief administrative officer is how long ago this was last talked about. It was a bad idea then. It's a bad idea now. I oversimplify things. If you take the laziest person and give them the toughest job, they'll find the easiest and quickest way to get it done. Because I live in the real world, the private sector, I can't think of an easier way to find me than to come by my house or come by my office and just walk in and ask to see me. But if I have to call somebody who doesn't know anything about anything to get a hold of the building department, and then later they're going to get back, we already have that. Tim Patanovic is the last remaining vestige of a department head that runs his department, is allowed to run it, understands how to run it. I sure miss John Stover. He and I butted heads almost on a weekly basis. One of his famous quotes at this lectern was, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with Mark. So I wrote that down. If I get a tattoo, that's what it's going to say. These chambers voted to be the state of Jefferson. Nowhere in the charter of the state of Jefferson does it talk about more government is a good thing. Let's combine some departments and create another layer that'll make it impossible for anything to get done. I oversimplify things, but let's talk about housing costs. There's a company that advertises on the television and the radio, Highline Homes, and they'll build you their model home, 1,550 square feet. They'll build it in Washington, Nevada, Oregon, or California. And that house in California is $85,000 more than the other three states. I could throw up out my eyeballs when I hear somebody in California talk about affordable housing. That ship sailed 15 years ago. 10 years from today, write this down, there'll be no private entity housing built except for upper-end houses for the well-to-do. Entry-level homes don't exist, except for they'll be built by government entities only. When Bill took over and wanted by somebody to create this new umbrella agency, we said, if it's not broken, don't fix it. So it took some time, but we've broken the building department. We've broken the planning department. You can't get anything through or done, or nobody knows where your paperwork went and how that happened, and nobody has a history. Nobody understands what we used to do or how we could do it better. That's all broken. So maybe that's why now this is reared its head back up. This paper inviting me, of all people, to a meeting to try to speak civilly to a bunch of people who I'm convinced you've already had your mind made up, is, don't be confused with the facts. You guys are going to vote the way you're going to vote. I hope I'm wrong. But this document, was it 4 or 5 pages, gives me a date and a time and a place to be here and what the topic's going to be and how we're going to get to it, and we're going to study, we're going to talk, we're going to think. Just think if you mailed this out to every licensed general contractor in Northern California and the requirements to be our building official were met and exceeded. We have a lot of local talent that's 60 years old, 55 years old, that are probably drawing a pension and thinking about getting rid of their bags and getting rid of their tools. That absolutely would be a good fit. But they never got this in the mail. They never got a 5-page letter explaining in the job description. We got people in the North State here that built homes all over the Western United States for big outfits. We got guys driving half-ton pickups with tool belts and tools that are worn out that have built 300, 400, 500, 600 houses at a time. Supervised jobs that the building department here would just be in awe of. Code enforcement. The code enforcement department is a great department. I own some property on north of town here where stolen vehicles and garbage and all kinds of stuff gets dumped on me all the time. It's in the city limits. I go round and round with the city police. I said, you know, it'd make a difference if you lived in my community. And the officer says, well, why is that? Why do you think that matters? How do you know I don't live here? I said, well, it's my job to know where people live. You don't live here. I've never seen you before in my life. I said, but if you had to look in my eyes when I was going out to lunch or I was at the Little League park, you'd probably work a little harder at your job. Our code enforcement officers live in our community. If I call the county code enforcement for an item that needs to be dealt with and they don't deal with it, they're going to see me down at the boat ramp. They're going to run into me at somebody's birthday party. So because they have to look me in the eyes, they take what I have to say because I'm invested in this community. They take what I have to say as, well, you know, he's got a point. We all have to live here. There's a lot of people that come to Tama County and get a check and drive elsewhere. I frown on that. The state of Jefferson oversimplifies things. I oversimplify a lot of things. But the best news out of this whole letter is, not that I was invited, but we've got open positions at the planning department and the building department. I hope that's still true, and I hope you put a 5-page letter and you recruit some local talent, some people that live here and make a living here, and they know the lay of the land. I think you could fix it without putting another layer of government in between me and my planning department or me and my building department. If you want to fix something, fix that. Fix it right. Common sense says it's not easier to get a hold of your building official if you got to call somebody else first. If you guys need to get a hold of me, come by my office. Don't even knock. If the door's unlocked, just walk in. Which office is Mark's? You'll come right to my desk. It'll be fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
I could just say amen to what Mark said. I have some comments and some information from Larry La Laguna, who really wanted to be here but couldn't. So I'm going to read what he has to say first, and then I'm going to let you know what I have to say. This was written, you might have heard it already or read it already, on April 26, 2011. He'd like to refresh your memory. I remember the days when Tehama County was prosperous, the days when the mills were running and there were good-paying jobs, the days when the Minch Slaughterhouse was running, supplying good-paying jobs, the days when a band of sheep were driven through Red Bluff and Corning, the days when you might see a horse tied to a tie ring around the courthouse, the days when government realized that the private sector was the backbone of this great country, the days when the Board of Supervisors were independent thinkers and there wasn't a county administrative officer, the days when rural county roads were routinely graded. In 1983, we had a little more than 40,000 residents in Tehama County and a few more than 400 county employees. 2010, we have a little more than 60,000 residents in Tehama County and a few more than 800 county employees. The exponential growth of government is the problem locally and nationally. We now have a county administrative officer whose only vested interest in Tehama County is his job. We have two full-time attorneys when we used to contract with law firms that specialized in fields of law. Now government at every level is more worried about self-preservation than supporting the private sector that produces the revenue to support the government. The private sector continues to shrink as the governmental sector continues to grow exponentially. Committees, 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 meetings, meetings, and more meetings. Nexus studies, review committees, facility needs, technology needs, comparison studies, environmental studies, and so on with zero resolution. If this was the process in the private sector, we would have been upside down a century ago. We paid $60,000 for the PMC study, another $5,000 for the Wilden study. For what? Then the county developed another county review committee to further research our county facility and technology needs into the future until the time hell is supposed to freeze over. Building, be it residential or commercial, touches many lives through employment and the purchase of goods and services locally. This helps stimulate the local economy, producing tax revenue to pay for governmental needs. In fact, the leading indicator for the whole national economy is new housing and commercial starts. Government is of the mentality at every level in thinking that increasing fees will increase government revenue. Simply doesn't work that way. When nothing is happening under the present fee structure, why in the hell would one think it will get better by increasing and or adopting new fees? Nothing is presently happening in Tehama County. Jurisdictions throughout the state put their development impact fees on moratorium. We are so far behind the curve, we are wasting time trying to adopt fees. Red Bluff was at least smart enough to put their fees on hold for a year to stimulate something. This wonderful building that I am standing in is a fine example of facility needs. Since this building was constructed, I see no correlation to how Tehama County is functioning any better. My suggestion to the board is to table any further discussion on the adoption of any development impact fee till the economic times become substantially better. Let's focus on working with what we have and develop the impression that Tehama County is an inviting place and promote growth and employment. Now, he has a little section that was written on the 15th of July regarding this issue. Not much has changed since the letter that Jenny just read. We are not growing, creating new jobs, subdivisions, fixing potholes, or listening to the public, and so on. There may be a glimmer of hope within the invitation to some of us to participate in the discussion of the Development Services Department. Really, what for? We do not need another layer of bureaucracy with a czar micromanaging our different directions of agencies, directors of agencies. Mr. Goodwin has already done a good job of micromanagement. I fought consolidation of the agencies when Rick Robinson was the county administrator. Rick was Mr. Goodwin's predecessor. We need a chief financial officer, not a county administrator. Back in the 90s, when things were booming with subdivisions, parcel maps, new homes, and spec homes, we were able to keep up with less staff. Now that there is really very little going on, you want to recreate? Why? The Development Services Department will be top-heavy with someone with a title and extra staff telling the agency directors how to steer their ship. Hire good directors and let them steer their own ship. This idea will cost us nothing, but money that we do not have. If there is extra money to be spent, let's pay our deputies what they deserve, and maybe they will stay in Tehama County. Mark my word, if the county creates a development services department, it will be a backdoor way to purchase the courthouse annex. We will pay a couple million for the courthouse annex and $1 million to $1.5 million to fix it up. After our committee against the development impact fee met with all the county agencies, it was unanimous that they did not need any more space. Mr. Goodwin is a facilities man. Take this admin building. It was built with tobacco money, and the county has not been run any better than in the old board chambers. Let's develop a reputation of being user-friendly and inviting. That's important. And then I just wanted to let you know that my husband and I have invested in property, and we've been building homes in Tehama County since 1997. I've worked with many realtors in this area, but primarily Mr. La Laguna. I'm pretty aligned with Mr. La Laguna's assessment. I do not believe that we need a development services department, and it would be a waste of time to talk about a salary for a position we don't need. What we do need is a way for builders to write one check without getting charged a fortune, involving all the departments that we have to write our checks to, and I believe that could be done with a computer program, a good computer program with a manipulation of one we already have probably. I'm not sure we need a planning director. I sure haven't missed the one we had. As I understand it, the planning director position wasn't busy enough to keep that individual busy full time. I would be real interested in leaving that position vacant as a cost savings measure unless there is a legal requirement for a planning director. In light of the budget issues, a change at this time seems unnecessary and unwise. I do not believe one person over several departments is productive in any way. A county does not run well with a chief administrative officer over all departments, so boss of another boss is not what we need. Additionally, there are departments that cannot be combined with other departments from a budget standpoint, and the building department is one of those. There are legal requirements for the way that that department is funded. I hope the board will not do this, and I build with my husband in this community, and I can tell you that my husband had the highest respect for Mr. Stover, and like Mr. Garstang, he didn't agree with Mr. Stover on every issue, but Mr. Stover knew how to run his department. He was informed. He knew the building code. I would say that right now the state of our building department is in shambles. Tim is reasonable. He's very good at fielding phone calls and complaints, but the reality is it still is a disaster. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Good afternoon. Robert Halpin, ex-planner, Tehama County. I can't really add much more to what Mark and Jenny just said, except that I agree with them, mostly. You know, what you need to do is not add another layer of bureaucracy, but hire people in these departments that know what they're doing. Tim Tonovic, he knows what he's doing in the Environmental Health Department. He's really good at it. But then you send him over there to do temporary in the building department. He's not a building official. And he's got to go to classes to do flood issues. So hire somebody that knows the job and can do it correctly. Same goes with planning department. So that's all I got to say. Hire the people that can do the job. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Well, I think I totally misunderstood the whole intention of this item because I'm listening to my friends here, and they're making perfect sense. I thought the creation of this department was going to remove layers of bureaucracy by combining departments. Is that not what was going to happen? I thought it was going to be like, okay, so now we don't have a building director, we don't have a planning director, so let's like not get those and combine those departments into something where a person could go in and leave their plans and not have to come back and get them from planning and then go to building and then get them okayed over there and bring them back to the... I thought this was designed... I thought the idea was to streamline this whole process, but maybe I'm wrong because these guys are really smart and they know a lot more about all this stuff than I do. But that would be my suggestion. If you're going to do some restructuring, like, let's get out the butcher block and the knife and start cutting some jobs, like maybe CAO, for instance, and put somebody in charge of this umbrella or combined department who actually knows what the heck what they're doing. Maybe make Tim that guy. And then just somebody capable in each department that would report to Tim. And then, what do you need Bill Goodwin for? I don't know. So maybe you guys could sort of explain what you have in mind. So inquiring minds want to know.
Thank you.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Brian Ramsey. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for being willing to look at this, the issue that there are some problems here. And also, we do have an opportunity. I see this as an opportunity because we have some vacancies here and an opportunity to do some restructuring. One thing I would ask as we go forward in this process is that you and like Tim and Bill would be to clarify what do you see as the issues that we're really confronted with? What do you perceive here so that we have more of a structure to work with in making recommendations? So I would ask if you would clarify what do you perceive? Another suggestion I would make is I remember 20-some years ago, there used to be an oversight committee to resolve differences on a project that was proposed and differences between the different departments, and it was made up of people meeting together on a somewhat regular basis and also with outsiders, engineers and builders to come in and offer a perspective on how we could resolve differences for a project within different departments. I would recommend maybe returning to that kind of a format. The other thing I would suggest, and I'm no tech wizard, but it seems like what's developing is that the burdens on the different departments increase with different regulatory requirements being imposed on us from outside. And one of the problems is with that burden is the communication between the different departments becomes more difficult. And I have seen this done in other arenas in that to facilitate communication between different groups, say in an academic session, academic structure, having something like a members-only Facebook page or using a platform like Discord where a project can be put into an arena like that, a presentation like that, where different groups or agencies can then put their input into it and facilitate that communication more easily. I've seen it done. Like I said, I'm no tech wizard. But I have seen it done, and I have seen it be worthwhile and productive. So that's an idea that I would add to this. Other than that, I was going to wait and wanted to hear more from you on what your perspective on this would be going forward.
And thank you, Brian. Maybe we should bring it back to the board and make those statements. Or for me personally, we know we have an issue. We haven't been able to get qualified people to some extent. We've offered to train some people, and they decided to leave elsewhere. So we have an opportunity, in my opinion, I'm not speaking for anybody else on the board, is to look at alternatives. And right now it's an alternative to do a development services agency, whether you call it a hybrid or whether the development services director is a planning director and or building official, I don't know. That's why we're here, in my opinion, is to try to figure out what is the best way to move forward with this department that has been under scrutiny for a couple of years. And I'm looking for direction as to how to do that. When Mark was here and he said there's lots of guys that are wearing their equipment out and looking to for other jobs, this job has been posted for the planning, for the building director, had been, I know, for 60 days. We have had one applicant. So if you know somebody out there that's looking, have them apply, because right now it ain't happening. And so here we are.
I agree with your thinking. Obviously, we're up against challenges that are not being met and are not easy to meet. If we're posting positions and not getting applicants, then we need to rethink, you know, a basic restructuring.
Right.
Of how we're put together, because we can't, going forward like this, obviously the status quo is not meeting the needs of what people are proposing. So, you know, I think let's put some thought into this and see if we can find something different.
In regards to the committee that you're speaking of, John just had his district representative approved last week. That committee is still in place. But it hasn't been used.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, it's still there, and it's still on the books, and we still have approved members, but it's not being used in any fashion by whether it was John or any of the interim building officials have not used it. But it is at their disposal.
I would say that's really good to know, because I know of projects out there where people don't feel that they have a means to appeal directives or decisions made by different members of different departments in an oversight committee would be very valued to be able to walk in and appeal or present a different perspective about a requirement. So to make that more publicly known that committee is there and available would be good.
Yeah, it's in fact, I believe Jennifer's not here, but I believe it's listed on the website who the members are.
Okay.
I appointed Eric Pettinger to the position for District 4 when I first got on the board. To my knowledge, they have never met. That's been 15 years.
Right, yeah.
I had a representative that was on there, too, for the whole entire time that I'd been here, although he passed away this last year during COVID. And never met. So it's almost seven years.
Right.
And I'm new on the board, so I can't go back to see how long it's been since they met, but I do, I did appoint a new person on my committee, and we really need to take a serious look about what's going on.
Yeah.
It's my opinion.
20 years ago, when I built my business, was part of the process was that I had to go in front of the oversight committee, and we were able to resolve some problems there, and I thought that was very worthwhile. It was difficult, but it was worthwhile. So I would maybe recommend a bringing that structure back to the forefront. And I think, because like I said, I realize the burdens on the different departments are becoming greater and greater, and to be able to navigate and what those requirements are, and to find common resolutions to the different problems, I think it'd be very worthwhile without imposing another layer of cost on the county.
Very good.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Tim?
I think we
have. We've got one behind you, too.
There's been some discussion here about qualifications and requirements, minimum requirements for jobs that must happen before that person can either be offered employment or conditionally employed for a time period before those qualifications must be in place. And I can certainly speak to the requirements for environmental health and the environmental health directors under Title 17, but I don't really know that much about planning directors and building officials and what their minimum qualifications are or if what the California Code of Regulations requires for even their employment. So that's something that we should look at, too, if we're going to discuss any potential restructuring. So just a thought.
Very good. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Charlie Wright with the Wright Brothers. We're retired industrial construction contractors. We are still building a few projects occasionally for ourselves. I have one in process right now. Haven't run one through for about 3 years that amounted to much. I'm surprised at the number of additional steps and hurdles and obstacles. We are getting through it. It seems a bit more difficult than it was in the past. A director of development services, if properly done, could be advantageous to the county and to those of us on the customer side of the counter. I think the risk in that, though, is that there are far more options to get a bad answer than there are to get a good answer in that. That I see this process as fraught with peril that derives from the old system that carries forward, personalities involved, qualifications and authority of people going forward. So I would just say, while optimally it could be very good, I think there's a whole lot of risks of making things worse. It's a tough spot to be in. I was trying to identify the committee that Brian was speaking of here. Is that the TAC committee, previously known? It was the TAC committee.
Building Appeals Board.
Building, so maybe there's two different committees here from what I'm hearing. I haven't seen either of those be very active over the last several years, but Building Appeals Board I have no familiarity with other than I knew it existed. TAC committee I have some familiarity with, have been there, presented there, worked things through there, and it had some, I thought, real merit. Things tended to get worked through there, or if not worked through, better understood. And if that's still active and ongoing, forgive my ignorance in the matter. Dennis, to your point about few or no applicants for building official in the last 60 days, I believe, I would just ask, was that notice sent to the builders exchanges in Redding, Chico, Marysville, Sacramento?
I have no idea who personnel sent it to.
Okay, well, that's a big pool of the people that Mark, looks like maybe he's gone, Mark referred to that
right.
Wouldn't certainly see that if it's advertised in some government news publication where these things tend to get published. And you may find some stones worth turning over there. I don't know.
Exchange, I'll let personnel know.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I would just really like some legal clarification from Mr. Stout. I do believe it is a legal requirement to have a building official. Is that true?
Yes, I believe that is correct. We do have to have a building official.
Okay. And so I just want to say the current office staff, the two ladies that work in the front desk area, they're very nice. They bend over backwards to help people. So keeping them happy would be a great idea. And if maybe possibly paying or advertising for a building official that actually makes some money would be a really good idea because it might be a monetary issue.
And I think Mr. Garsting has a great idea. Why not send it out to all the contractors? It's cheap advertisement, and you might really get somebody's interest. Just a thought. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak to this?
I'd like to share something because we had talked about some restructure for the county, and I guess I have some conditions that I would want to see met in order to be willing to do any kind of combination of the departments. One of the things that I haven't seen for a while is really since Sean Moore was here, but I could be mistaken, is what the actual projects that are being worked on are and presented to this board as far as what the workload is. And workload matters because if we have a small workload and we don't have a lot of projects, then we don't need multiple department heads that are paid over $100,000 each. And so, you know, the qualifications are probably the most important element to me. That especially with the building community, I some of the people in this room know me from being a lender, and I was very hands-on in that. I made sure that they were being taken care of by the county. Some of the it was not as hard as what I'm hearing it is today, although I'm not in that community anymore. But I used to be able to make a phone call and get something resolved before and get an answer for the things that were questionable, especially from the lender's point of view, when we had to meet conditions in order for blueprints or something to get through. And so I want to see ease of use. You know, we're moving to technology, which a lot of people don't find easy. When you're a builder and you work with, you know, tools and that kind of thing, there are a lot of people out there that are very technology savvy, and there's some that are not. And so we need to have options for them to be able to use the services that are not impossible for them to get through the process. And with regard to the TAC group, which was mentioned, I didn't know that's what you were talking about as far as the committee that meets, because I do know that TAC actually has met since I've been on the board, but the Building Appeals Board is what I thought you were talking about that hasn't met. That's what I was speaking to. But I think they're both very important because they both come from different points of view, and it depends on what your need is, you know, what they would be addressing. So, but both of them, I think, are very important. And it does concern me that we haven't had them meet because I know we've had issues. So I'm not sure where in the process that needs to be resolved. Obviously, it's not the board. It's within the department processes and activities and policies. You know, when does it go to an appeals board? At what point in time, you know, when you're not getting your questions answered, what happens? And then what is the cost of that? Because we had an issue in planning where we asked a person who had a question to have to pay quite a bit of money, and they had been in business for almost 60 years. So I don't want to see the builders or the businesses have to pay extreme amounts of money to get their questions answered either. I want it to be user-friendly. So that's important to me as well. I already mentioned the qualifications as being an important thing. But that being stated, I don't think that we have that many projects that we couldn't have one department head and then a senior planner, which we already have, one sitting in the audience here, who's quite technically savvy and does a good job as far as I know. And we could have a senior building official with all the qualifications that they need in order to sign off on projects and that kind of thing. But a building official, there are serious requirements that are involved. Maybe that's not the right word, serious, not a technical term, but there are requirements that are involved as far as certifications that they need to have and experience, because a lot of builders, and, you know, I don't want to speak for you, Mr. Wright, but, you know, if you've been building for 30 years and you have somebody come out who's green and they're telling you you need something or they're not even looking at what they need to look at to be signed off for an inspection, that's just, it's not okay. And our building community shouldn't have to be training our building official. But there are times when, you know, there's new things that happen and the builders might know something that our building official doesn't know, and I would hope that they could work together to find resolution. I would like to see, and I know a lot of the people that are in this room and maybe are listening, I was one of the most vocal about our business development process that we took, because I just think that we needed it badly, but we didn't do it right. We didn't have a good scope of work or say, you know, what it was that we wanted them to accomplish. And I think if we don't give the person an idea of what they need to do, that we're never going to, you know, be able to, if we don't have a plan in place, if we don't have an idea of what we want to see happen in 5 or 10 years from now, then the person is going to fail. We're going to just set them up for failure. It's not going to work. So I would like to see a development arm of this that we can actually look at, you know, what does this community want? And it's going to take a lot of effort from both the citizens to say, what do we want this community to look like from 10, 20, 50 years from now, and, you know, to be able to work towards that. And I don't know if environmental health and code enforcement need to be under that same umbrella, but, you know, we do have a person in our environmental health department that does a good job. I don't want to upset that apple cart, so maybe it could be added later. I don't know. Code enforcement seems to fall well under that umbrella if we did have an umbrella, because we do have a lot of things having to do or that cross over with regard to building and, you know, with regard to code enforcement and the things that code enforcement officers look at. So that's what I think. The Sutter, I didn't get all the notes down, but I think that's way too many things in one area for our little county, or medium-sized county. And what Butte and Glen and Mendocino do, we don't have to follow what other people do. We can do our own thing. We can decide what's best for us. But I think we need citizen input for that. So that's what I have as a concept when we're talking about, you know, having an umbrella or an organization over these things.
John, do you have some comments?
Well, yes and no. I know we have some problems in some of our departments throughout the county, and building and planning has been a hot subject for quite some time. And one of the reasons that I presented to bring Tam down to be the interim department head was to try to straighten out the problems we had down there, and I think we still have some problems there. I don't think by bringing in a development services director or et cetera, is going to solve the problems that we have. I think that's just a waste of money that we don't need to spend. Secondly, I think that we need to seriously, in a lot of departments, look at the morale problems that we have in the county. And that may be one of the reasons why we're not getting good people who want to apply for a job, is because of what they're hearing out in the public. And that's pretty well known in the public in Tehama County, that it's just not, things are right within the Tehama County, especially on the board of directors up here. And as a new baby, however you want to look at that, I've listened for 1 year sitting in this auditorium to things that brought forth to this board, and there really hasn't been many changes made in the last year. And I believe in change, but I don't believe we need to spend more money to make change. I think we need to make changes within our own departments. Take time with our department heads, understand what they do in their departments. I'm trying to do that with meeting the department heads and understanding their reasons, what they're doing in their departments. It's just like I ride with the deputy sheriffs to understand what they do in the field. If you're not riding out there, how do you know what they actually do? How do you know they can't control or support the needs in our county? If you don't understand what the building inspector requirement is, you need to know from the department head what the problem is. And then we as a board need to look at either a survey, a study, to try to correct those problems. That's basically what I have to say on that.
Thank you. Bob, do you have any comments?
I think the key
I'm on. I think Charlie said the key word there, if properly done. In a perfect world, development services director would be qualified to serve as the building official, would have at least some knowledge, and I would hope a little bit more than just some knowledge of planning and the requirements of planning, and could potentially have a lot of knowledge in the environmental health arena. The big question, though, is what would the cost be? And would there be a savings to the county if we had a development services director, yet we still had to have a senior planner, we still had to have a senior environmental health specialist, and we still had to have a building official or senior inspector? I hearken back to when we were looking at Ag Commissioner, and I looked at some of the other counties, and a prime example would be Glenn County. Their Ag Commissioner down there actually runs four departments, and by doing that, they can afford to pay that individual more than we could afford to pay to run one department. There is some benefit to having a director, an overall director, but that director also needs to have the knowledge to be able to manage each of those departments, and that takes a pretty special kind of person. I looked forward to this discussion today because I don't know what's out there. I don't know what it would cost to have somebody like this. And again, I don't know whether there would be a savings to the county setting this up this way. I don't think it's going to be resolved today in this discussion as to what that cost would be, what that job classification would be, because one of the items here is direct staff to prepare a new development services director classification with a recommended salary range. If we're not going to go there, I don't want to waste the time of our personnel department drafting that up. Looking at the neighboring counties, and one of those examples that Tim gave was Glenn County. I know I talked to a former supervisor in Glenn County, and they did the combination of departments years ago so that they could bring in. They could pay more so that they could bring in, have more applicants for their job pool and have a better choice. I came here today to listen to what the public has to say. I don't see this being a person that oversees the planning director, the building official, and the environmental health director. If you're doing that, we're wasting time. I see this person being the head, like I said, of three departments at least, and being able to oversee senior staff along the line, and potentially that could be a cost savings to the county. But again, I go back to what Charlie said, it has to be done right.
I agree.
Well, just and my comments are, I don't think that the county personally, my direction is that we're not ready for a development services officer. I don't think we've got the expertise to select one, and I know that we currently don't have the budget to pay what one would expect that position to be. As far as the planning director, building official, the building official announcement is on the county's website, and the salary ranges from $83,000 to $93,000 with individual. So the way I'm reading the board and the way I'm reading the comments, tally, there was one maybe to yes if it was done properly, and there was five no's to go for the development services director classification. So as far as I'm concerned, that item is off the table. Item one, or however it's item B with no subdirection.
I would agree with that.
Well, I'm not sure you heard of, you know, well, first there's not five, but all knows. But as far as not having all of the information today, we don't have all the information today. And I actually happen to be in agreement with Supervisor Williams in talking about the, or what he spoke about, if we did it right and if we had senior level folks underneath a director, there could be substantial cost savings. If we move forward to do what we've been doing all along, and we have a planning director and a building director, and we hire, we aren't going to have this opportunity again because we have the vacancies now. So we'll hire, and it could be another 20 years before it could be even looked at because you've got people in those positions that we're not going to riff or remove. Down the road, that's not been the style of this county, and it's not likely to happen. So if we don't do something now, or we don't look at what the options are now and actually weigh it out, then it's not going to happen, and we'll, you know, just move forward. If we hire a building official at the current rate of pay, if we're lucky enough to find somebody with the actual qualifications, we need a building official. We need one. But what that looks like, if that's the person who's the department head, I don't have enough information right now, and I'm speaking just as a supervisor, you know, and listening to what I've heard in the complaints, which there have been a large number of them, to be able to solve it today. I think that unless staff does some work, and looks into it and gives us some options and actual fact-based information with figures and what it would look like, I don't see how we can make a decision today. So that's where I stand on it.
Mr. Chairman, may I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Thinking about what I said, sometimes I don't think when I say, to me, Tim's already done some of the research as far as the combination of departments in our neighboring counties. If we could have our personnel department collect those job specifications for those directorships in those other counties and the salary ranges for those other counties, I think it would give us a better idea of what other counties are doing and would help us make a better decision. I would like to have that brought back to us on a future agenda item so we could actually look at it and have all the information in front of us as to what the cost would be and what the job entails for those other counties.
That's fine.
That wouldn't require a whole lot of, I mean, drawing up our own development services director classification, I don't want to go there until we make that determination as to what the other counties are doing and what the cost would be.
And that's fine. And do we want to have this brought forward at a 1:30 study session so that we can have everybody here that's present, or do we just want to put it on a regular agenda item?
I'm okay either way. I don't mind the 1:30 study session.
Well, that way we can notice everybody and they can be here. Jennifer's not in the room. Do you have any? I don't know, would that take 3 weeks? Would it take a month? Do we want to set the date today specific?
Do you have the calendar, Tavis? I don't think it's going to take that long. I think you can pull those job specs offline with the salary schedule.
Well, in August, we have four meetings. We don't have a meeting on the 10th. Do we have an afternoon session in August that's available?
That's too soon.
And then August 31st.
Let's set it for the 31st and go from there.
Okay.
Is that agreeable?
Yeah.
We don't need a motion. We don't need to act on or. So
I think it's important to know the kinds of projects, number of projects and things, so we're knowing what we're comparing to. Like, what are they doing, not just the job class or job specs.
Okay. I give you some direction, Tim, to work with personnel?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Anything else? Yes, Liz?
Yes, I was wondering if you could reopen public comment. There's a lady who wanted to speak earlier, and she didn't know that there wasn't public comment, and you usually do the overflow at the end of the meeting. So before you adjourn, would you mind if she spoke?
I will reopen public comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Please come to the podium.
Hello. I'm Amy Gibbs, and I'm here representing the Tehama Citizens for Freedom. And the issue that has concerned us and many parents is their children attending school, because many parents are like not all right with their children being forced to like wear masks all day, and it's like unhealthy, and there's been studies and stuff that it's actually like a kind of a bacteria trap, and there's been some parents are complaining of like their children having like nosebleeds from it, from wearing masks all day. And then the other issue is their children being vaccinated without parental consent. Because it's like, it's almost like they're losing their rights the minute that they drop their kid off at school to their children and to make the choice for their children. And I don't believe we all don't believe that the school district should be enforcing illegal mandates upon the children. Because this is like an overstepping of government upon the people. It's a parent's right to choose, and no one else's. It's a violation of a parental right. Children are not high risk to begin with for, like, these drastic steps to be taken. People have died. People are having side effects from the vaccines. And we shouldn't take a chance on playing Russian roulette with the children. So what, if anything, is being done about this issue, or what can be done about this in our county? Parents can't afford to homeschool their kids because of all the, you know, rising gas prices and taxes and, you know, so they can't afford to stay home to homeschool. So.
Okay. Thank you.
I wanted to bring that up.
Very much. And with that, we stand adjourned. Yep.